Let's read together Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. In this last portion of Luke chapter 9, we have the Lord's rejection by the Samaritans, and then we have the responses of three would-be disciples. Let's begin by reading verses 51 through 56. Luke chapter 9, beginning now at verse 51. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 9 with some background notes. In the earlier part of this chapter, we saw that after Peter's great confession of faith, the Lord began to reveal to his disciples that the earthly kingdom they expected was not going to be set up at this time because the nation was rejecting their Messiah and King. Instead of being received as King, the Lord was going to suffer and be killed. Look back at verse 22 of chapter 9. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Now here, beginning in verse 51 of the chapter, the Lord begins his journey toward Jerusalem. Now this is not the final week of his earthly life. We are still at least 6 months away from the crucifixion. And there will be other side journeys, as we'll see. But our Lord's great Galilean ministry is drawing to a close, and his course is set, and he is determined to carry out the will of his Father in every detail, including being put to death in Jerusalem. The days will pass by quickly now as the cross draws near. Notice that verse 51 says, the days of his being received up, or the days of his ascension, and not the days of his death. The glory of the Lord's finished work and return to heaven are here in view, not his suffering and death. It reminds us of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, doesn't it? Which says, For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, that's certainly the way we should face suffering for the sake of Christ. Focus on the joy and glory that will follow, not on the details of the pain and suffering. Now, as our Lord and his disciples made their way south, the Lord directed them to go through Samaria and actually make arrangements to stay there, probably overnight, because the journey from Galilee to Jerusalem was a 3 days journey. Most Jews would not go through Samaria, but would rather cross over the Jordan River to the east and travel through Perea in order to bypass Samaria. The Samaritans were considered a mixed race by the Jews, because they began back in the 8th century B.C. when the Jews of the northern tribes of Israel intermarried with the non-Jews that the Assyrians brought into the land. Let's read about that back in 2 Kings chapter 17. I'm reading 2 Kings chapter 17 beginning with verse 24. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cuthah, Ava, Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its cities. And it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and indeed they are killing them, because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Send there one of the priests whom you brought from there, and let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. However, every nation continued to make gods of its own, and put them in the shrines on the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in the cities where they dwelt. Now down at verse 32 and following. So they feared the Lord, and from every class they appointed for themselves priests of the high places who sacrificed for them in the shrines of the high places. They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. So these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day. From 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 24 through 29, and verses 32 through 41. So this is the origin of the Samaritan people. And because the Samaritans were not full-blooded descendants of Abraham, there was friction and unacceptance between the Jews and Samaritans. The Lord and his disciples did not receive a favorable reception in Samaria, and that brings us now to our doctrinal points for this portion of Luke chapter 9. Doctrinal point number one, the Son of Man is our model for preaching. The Son of Man is our model for preaching. The Samaritans did not welcome and receive the Lord and his disciples with hospitality because they were Jewish and on their way to Jerusalem, where the true temple of the Lord was located. The Samaritans did not worship in Jerusalem. They had their own temple on the top of Mount Gerizim. Remember in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman said to the Lord, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain." She was referring to Mount Gerizim in Samaria. When James and John saw that they were not welcome, they asked the Lord if they should command fire to come down from heaven and consume the Samaritans. Now, we would never do anything like that, would we? Certainly not for those nice drivers that cut us off in traffic all the time. We would never want to see their big SUVs get zapped. Remember, the Lord called James and John the sons of thunder because of their fiery zeal. Mark chapter 3, verse 17. Well, fiery zeal must be channeled in the right direction. And so the Lord had to rebuke James and John here for their wrong spirit. The Lord set the example for his disciples then and today when he said in verse 56, "The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Now, this does not mean that we are not to preach about hell, but our aim is to save and rescue folks from hell, not send them to hell. We see from Acts chapter 8 that John learned his lesson well. In Acts chapter 8, John is back in Samaria and ministering to the people with a more patient and long-suffering attitude. Our mission is not to force people or manipulate people or zap people. Our mission is to share the gospel with people and lead people to Christ for salvation. The Son of Man is our model for preaching. Doctrinal point number two. The Son of Man is our model for priorities. The Son of Man is our model for priorities. Verses 57 through 62. Luke chapter 9, beginning now at verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." In these verses, we see three would-be disciples who all made excuses when the demanding terms of discipleship were explained. In the first case, The Lord explained that the normal expected comforts of life may have to be given up if your priorities are in order as a disciple. Even animals and birds have homes, but the Lord did not have a house or home. And his disciples today may be called on to give up the comforts of houses and homes. In the second case, the Lord called for the would-be disciple to follow him. But this man had a different set of priorities. Permit me to go first and bury my father. Most likely, his father had not actually died yet, but was old, and the man wanted to wait until his father died and was buried and the inheritance was settled, etc., etc. And then he would follow the Lord. The Lord said, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and preach the kingdom of God." In other words, don't delay. Don't let family affairs hold you back. There will always be family entanglements and affairs to be taken care of. Somehow they will get worked out without your having to be there if you come and follow me. You know, that is still true today. In the third case, the would-be disciple wanted to take time to say goodbye to everyone back at home. Chances are this man was far more interested in going away parties and telling all his friends what he was going to do than actually doing the work of the Lord. Once again, it was a matter of priorities in the Lord's answer. Verse 62, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." If you're always looking back and homesick, etc., when you're supposed to be serving the Lord, you will not set a straight course. This has certainly proved true in Christian ministries today. Notice in verse 58 that the Lord used himself as the model to follow. "And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" The Son of Man is our model for priorities. Now, what about practical application from this last portion of Luke chapter 9? "Let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead." Now, what exactly did the Lord mean by that expression in verse 60? "Let the dead bury their own dead." He meant, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. That is, unbelievers can take care of the normal and necessary requirements of life, such as burying the dead, but unbelievers can't proclaim the kingdom of God. Only those who are spiritually alive can do that. Now, do you see the practical application? Don't spend your lifetime consumed by doing something that an unbeliever can do. Now, this does not mean that Christians should not have secular jobs. No. Again, it's a matter of priorities. Even on a secular job, however, don't let your life be consumed by the job. Do a good job and a responsible job, but recognize that you are there primarily to represent the Lord and his kingdom. There are plenty of non-Christians around to do all the necessary jobs in this world. So put the Lord first and let the dead bury the dead.